91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour, we visit with Coconut Grove-based filmmaker Maureen Fura. She's written and directed a new documentary, which deals with a seldom-spoken-of disorder, which greatly challenged her, postpartum depression. Good afternoon. It's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Maureen Fura's sobering documentary is entitled Dark Side of the Full Moon. Mental health statistics on the disorder vary widely. 14 to 23% of pregnant women experience depression, and 15 to 25% incur postpartum depression. It's a serious problem which can lead to erratic behavior, self-torture, and even suicide. Stay with us. Topical Currents up next, after the news.
And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman, on this Monday morning. Monday afternoon, we'll make that Bonnie. Our topic this hour is postpartum depression, and it's much more than a case of the baby blues for new mothers.
It's a serious disorder which can threaten sanity, marriages, families, and even induce suicide. We're here to speak with filmmaker Maureen Fura. She's experienced postpartum disorder firsthand and used her suffering to educate others and to urge the medical community to offer screenings for it.
The film is Dark Side of the Full Moon, and we'll explore this complex topic as well as take your calls.
Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. So when I watched your film, The Dark Side of the Moon, with great difficulty, I might add, I was shocked to learn about the prevalence and breadth and depth of prenatal, perinatal, and postpartum depression. So I spoke to other several knowledgeable and educated people about it, and none of them were aware of the severity or incidence either. So my question is, it begs the question, why this huge disconnect? Why so much ignorance about such a far-reaching and widespread public health crisis?
You know, this is not anything new. In 400 BC, Hippocrates wrote about the first case of it, that written about it. I think it is a three-part thing at play. I think you have this expectation that motherhood is supposed to be this amazing time of your life, something you've always wanted to do, and you add mental health on top of that, and then you add a little bit of the patriarchy system, and then you have a really complicated storm coming where women are at risk.
Well, you call it a dirty little secret. I was remembering when Brooke Shields came out publicly with her story about postpartum depression, of course, the brouhaha with Tom Cruise. But in spite of her courage, it seems nothing stuck. It still went back under the radar. Why?
You know, we were really shocked to find that less than 5% of OBs screen mothers, pregnant and postpartum. It was really hard to find an answer, and I think it has to do with mental health. And the medical schools aren't training doctors in this. They're getting 1 hour of a lecture on this, if they're lucky.
Do you think a lot of people downplay this? An excited new grandparents and relatives, and they probably give eye rolls that the new mother, you should be ecstatic about this. Why are you doing this?
Definitely. When I told my OB when my first appointment that I didn't feel like myself and I was really sad, my OB told me, you should be happy. You're having a baby. So that was down to the care provider. I think we just have this idea that motherhood can't be anything.
And that was while you were pregnant.
Yes.
Not post.
No.
And tell us about your own struggle with that, with your first son. He's now 6 years old. Tell us about your experience.
You know, I had never had a mental health diagnosis in my life. I was a former Peace Corps volunteer twice. I love adventure and new things and challenges. And I woke up one morning not myself. And I had my first suicidal thought I had ever had. I was 32. I didn't know that was possible. To lose my sense of self so fast. And
when you say you weren't yourself, describe that a little more, other than, well, the suicidal thoughts are, you know, a big thing. But what else when you say you weren't yourself?
Just having my thoughts completely shift and be out of my control. Like, I would be in the car and I would think, what if I just take my foot off the gas and drive off a cliff? Mm. I would think, what if I take that bleach and pour it in my food and just eat it? Like, these thoughts would pop in my head once every second, and they would just eat me up alive. And it was like that calming voice in my head that I had always had and known was gone, and was saying, instead of, you would never do that, it was saying, you're going to do that. That's going to happen. I became an agoraphobic. I couldn't even leave the house. I had to be babysat by my parents and my husband. I had never experienced anything like that, where I fell so publicly out of myself.
Now, you went to 29 doctors. You're including the OB doctors, the psychologists, psychiatrists, whatever.
Yes.
And you say none of them could provide the support or treatment that you needed.
No.
So how could that be? 29 doctors.
I mean, that's why I made the movie. I wanted to know, was this just me? Was I an anomaly? But what happened was, I found out a lot of women are having the same experience. So, I mean, I really believe that care providers just don't have it in their head that motherhood could be anything but this amazing experience. That I don't think they could really hear me when I said, I'm thinking about killing myself.
Is there a hormonal influence that's been documented on this?
There has. And there is a subset of women who are very sensitive to the fluctuations of their mm-hmm. hormones, and that I thought that I might have been allergic to progesterone. And they're finding out that it was just the influx of the surge of hormone that could cause my brain to malfunction in a way and get kicked into overdrive. So they are finding... Just as, like, I could get gestational diabetes, which I did, which kicked my pancreas into not working, the same hormone acted on my brain.
Well, let's talk about your film, Dark Side of the Full Moon. Tell us how it came to be. You teamed up with Jennifer in Palm Beach County, and you decided to take to the road to tell this story. Tell us a little about that and about Jennifer.
Yeah, I met Jennifer, and she was just like me. She had it when she was pregnant, which is, you know, you don't hear that. You hear it post. And had the same intrusive, scary thoughts, like, what if I stab my stomach? What if I drive off the street? What if I, you know, kill myself? So we found an affinity like that. And we wanted to just know, was this happening to other women? Was there something with us, or was this something bigger going on? And so we traveled across the United States, and we talked to mothers, survivors, we talked to advocates, researchers, professors, doctors, and we found out that this is so big and so common, and that this was a very big public health crisis in our country.
How did you find the women that you featured in the film?
We kind of put a call to action out to Postpartum Support International. They have coordinators all over the country, and from there, they were able to find our mothers for us. And then friends from high school would call me. One of the mothers featured, Mary Rose, in the story, was in graduate school with me. So it's like all around us, but we're not really, I don't think we know to what extent how many women are suffering in our own immediate circle.
What are the statistics? Because we're moving around talking about how many, but what are some hard numbers?
One in seven. So imagine if you're in a party and there are seven women, at least one of them is probably suffering from a perinatal mood or anxiety disorder. Now, one in 1,000 will suffer with postpartum psychosis, which is much more serious and an emergency. But if you look at birth rates in, like, Miami, 25,000, I think, in a year, that's 25 women with postpartum psychosis, which is very serious, and we're not doing anything about it.
We're going to have Shoshana Bennett join us in a little while, and we'll get more to the difference between, mm-hmm. you know, the psychosis and then the onset of these other things. But in your film, you included footage, speaking of psychosis, of several of these tragedies where moms, you know, committed suicide or killed their children and killed themselves or not. And certainly these were the results of mental illness, but do we know for a fact that the incidents were all related to postpartum psychosis or perinatal psychosis?
Yeah, I think many, if not all, were. They do forensic psychology, and they were. Like the case where the Daytona, a woman drove into the ocean with three of her kids. She was pregnant at the time. That's what the news report didn't mention. She had three older children in the car, but she was pregnant. So yeah, those cases were all tied back. And we found cases that aren't even talked about where women committed suicide that families weren't open to sharing it. But we found the news footage, but we didn't air it. So there are so many stories we don't even know about.
I don't think, at least in my memory of that case, that they weren't talking about that it was postpartum depression, that it was just like, oh, this woman is loony.
Or the other one, Watts. What was her name? I didn't bring my notes with me. The one who killed all five of her children?
Andrea Yates. Yes.
And they didn't mention in any of that either.
Oh.
Did they?
They did. They called it postpartum depression.
Right.
But what she had was postpartum psychosis. And I think the key thing to know about that case is that they sent her home from the psych unit because her insurance wouldn't pay for any more time in the psych ward. And she was suicidal at that point and catatonic. We interviewed her lawyer. So that was a real a flaw in the healthcare system.
It's in the standard psychiatric classification system, isn't it?
No. In fact, it doesn't even have its own DSM.
Yes.
Yeah. DSM-4.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't even have its own, it's not its own DSM classification.
And I believe what you also found was that insurance doesn't cover most of these things.
Well, like the case with Andrea Yates, she was let go. And then a couple days later, she murdered her children. So insurance plays a huge role in it. And I think some providers like Cigna are catching up, and I've heard of Aetna catching up, where if they can make doctors have to screen, then doctors will screen. And if they make links available to connect mothers with the right help, they can play a huge role in making this better for mothers.
Do you think doctors at large are generally in denial? I mean, and what would they gain from being in denial? What would anybody gain?
I know. You know, when we started making the movie, I was like, they're the villains. And I wanted a villain so bad. And Shoshana would be like, Maureen, they're not the villain. But I was like, I want to blame somebody. But what I found was that they really do want to help. They just don't know where to send them, and they don't know enough about it. So that's why we don't see more action on the part of our OBs.
We're speaking with Maureen Fura. She's a filmmaker, a mother of two sons, and the awareness chair for the National Coalition of Maternal Mental Health. She wrote and directed the new documentary, The Dark Side of the Full Moon. We're going to take a short break. We will be right back.
Past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We now continue our program about perinatal depression with mental health expert and clinical psychologist, Dr. Shoshana Bennett.
She's the executive producer of The Dark Side of the Full Moon and the author of several books on the subject, including Postpartum Depression for Dummies, Pregnant on Prozac, and her latest book is Children of the Depressed. She joins us now from Laguna Beach, California. Welcome, Dr. Bennett.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, it's good to have you. I thought we'd start with you. We've touched on it, but if you would break down for us all the various and wide-ranging symptoms of perinatal depression, postpartum depression, prenatal depression, from the most minor to the most grave.
Well, the perinatal mood and anxiety disorder is the umbrella. That's the umbrella term. Postpartum depression is just one of six. And anything that can happen postpartum can also happen during pregnancy. So the depression we speak about the most, PPD, because it's the most common, about 15% of women, as Maureen very, very articulately announced. There's also postpartum bipolar disorder. Sometimes women, for the very first time, develop a manic episode after they deliver. even if they've never had any symptoms before. And then there's postpartum panic and postpartum obsessive compulsive disorder. Women can have very scary thoughts about what can happen to the baby, even if they're thinking they might hurt the baby. But it's very different from postpartum psychosis, a very, very separate disorder. And then there's also postpartum post-traumatic stress disorder, so which can happen from developing from what happened to them during childhood, and it can haunt them postpartum or during the pregnancy, or it can be the trauma can actually happen during the pregnancy itself. So those are the six. Baby blues is considered to be very normal. It's not a depression. It's not a clinical disorder. About 80% of new mothers experience some kinds of ups and downs and emotionality and, you know, crying at Hallmark commercials for no particular reason. again, not considered a disorder, and it should be gone by 2 weeks, or at the outset, I'd say 3 weeks postpartum. Very transient and mild. If the symptoms get in the way of the mom's functioning during the day, or getting in the way of her sleeping at night, even if it overlaps the first couple of weeks, kind of baby blues period, she shouldn't wait. She should get help right away. Sometimes the baby blues doesn't go away. It just continues past the 2 or 3 weeks, even if it's mild. And again, the most loving and responsible thing a mom can do for herself and her family is to contact a psychotherapist who specializes in this particular field.
Are there some symptoms that women have, or characteristics that some women may have, which would tend to make them make it more possible for them to experience these symptoms?
The symptoms that might get in the way the most?
The symptoms which might characterize, or the traits that might, I'm sorry, the factors that I might influence them.
Are you saying, is it genetic? Is it based on family history? Is it hormonal?
Well, yeah, no, good question. And there are factors that make a woman higher risk, and I can certainly tell you what those are, but it's important to know that no one is immune. This can hit hard, even if the woman has, as we call it, a clean history. So certainly if a woman has personal history of anxiety or depression or another mental health disorder, she's automatically high risk for either prenatal or postpartum or both a mental health issue. If she has even a family history, you know, an uncle or an aunt or a grandma, that still makes her higher risk. And often women don't even know if a predecessor has had, you know, somebody in their background has had a diagnosis. So I'll say it doesn't matter. I'll say to the women who contact me, even if they haven't been diagnosed, is there something you have noticed about a loved one, a family member? Do they need to have everything just so? You know, or have you seen them go into big slumps and down moods or super, super happy so they're not eating or they're not sleeping? But the main symptoms that we want to watch for, that a new mom should be watching for and their loved one should be watching for, is difficulty sleeping at night when their baby's sleeping. So any insomnia is a big warning sign. Or if there are huge appetite changes, certainly when a woman is breastfeeding, she might have an increased appetite, but I'm talking about really over the top, never feeling satisfied, always hungry, or losing her appetite, usually due to the anxiety. Low self-esteem. A mom who says to her out loud to anyone, my baby doesn't like me, or my baby is rejecting my milk, or I'm not fit to be a mother. You can do this so much better than I can. You know, those kinds of statements are not normal for a new mom. So those kinds of things are what you're watching for.
What's the most common spousal reaction to these symptoms?
Well, in my spouse, it was anger. Because, again, back in the 80s, when I went through this twice, there was no help whatsoever. So unless the spouse really gets the information and is educated and gets support for himself, it can be very hard for spouses. Certainly there can be a tremendous amount of worry, but the anger can come when they're just wondering what is wrong with her. You know, she is supposed to be happy. You know, as Maureen mentioned earlier in the show, you know, I'm happy. What's wrong with her? And, you know, what kind of a mother is this? So there can be tremendous judgment, even from partners, if they're not educated.
And also, Dr. Bennett, let's not forget the ramifications and consequences for the children of these moms,
yes,
from personality disorders to illiteracy. If you
That's
could
right.
run down some of those.
Oh, yes. Very, very important. The children are at risk if the mom does not receive the help that she so desperately needs. They are at risk. And as Maureen mentioned earlier, this isn't a woman's issue. This is a public health issue. This affects everyone. The children, it affects marriages, it affects extended family, it affects the workplace, really everyone. So very, very important that mom gets help as fast as possible. The children can have learning disabilities of various kinds. There can be attachment disorders. My daughter did develop an attachment disorder. Here I was a special education teacher at the time. I was teaching early childhood education. I knew intellectually what was happening to my daughter when she was trying to engage me, you know, in the cute ways that babies do, and I was unable to attend to her anything more than just no expression on my face, if I was able to attend to her at all. So I would take care of her basic needs, but nothing more, not that wonderful emotional stuff that should be happening. So children are definitely at risk, and as we watch them through development, we have a plethora of information regarding the consequences to untreated maternal depression on kids, and it doesn't look good. By teenagehood, you know, many of them, at least half of them, have experienced depression themselves, for instance.
And Maureen, we were talking about your son, your first son, and you were telling me some of the problems that he's had as a result of your perinatal, let's say that.
Yeah. My son has social anxiety and a rare form of social anxiety called selective mutism. So when he is in like a school setting, they had never heard him speak in a loud voice, always in a whisper, if anything. And last year, the school asked us to get him some help, and he's been in treatment at like FIU and learning how to use, they call it his brave voice, and where they can't find like a correlation or a direct causal pathway. I do know that the epigenetics of it is I was pregnant with him while I was experiencing extreme stress and panic, and that little body inside of me was getting flooded with cortisol, and can flick on recessive genes in his most basic when he's forming. So I do think it's connected. And
that, I'm just wondering, both of you, I'll ask this, if that is difficult for you to know that something that you were experiencing, which you couldn't get help for because you tried, but that's caused a problem in your children.
Definitely. It's made me so impassioned to really make this better for children. Like my, you know, I don't want any child to have to go through that, and not to feel scared to speak out and be who they are. It really made the connection deep for me that this impacts not only our mothers, but our children.
And it's so important to know that this kind of thing can often be prevented. So we're really the voice of hope here. We don't want anybody to be so worried that you know, we're the voice of doom. Not at all.
No, I mean, we're going to get to all the hope.
Good.
Yes, I promise.
Yeah, you know, I have released the guilt, and I have many years ago, or else it would be very hard for me to be working with the new moms who are experiencing it now. So I will teach them how to release it. We do the best we can with whatever we know in any given moment. And that's all, you know, that's really all we can do. If the help is there, wonderful. If we've looked for it and we couldn't find it, or it wasn't available, or we didn't know what was happening, you know, not our fault.
We're speaking with, that was the voice of Dr. Shoshana Bennett. She's a clinical psychologist and an internationally recognized expert and leader on maternal mental health. And she is the executive producer of the film that was made by Maureen Fura, our other guest, The Dark Side of the Full Moon. We'll be right back. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We are talking about perinatal disorder and all of its manifestations with Maureen Fura. She's a filmmaker, and she wrote and directed the new documentary, The Dark Side of the Full Moon. Shoshana Bennett is a clinical psychologist and an internationally recognized expert and leader on maternal mental health. She's also an author and the executive producer of The Dark Side of the Full Moon.
And our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, you're certainly welcome. 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-WLRN. Also, email radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, well, we're not finished with some of the other questions, but because I said we're going to get to the hopeful side and some solutions, let's do that now. So, Maureen, what has been the response to your film, and is it receiving the attention you hope for?
You know, I was telling you before I came in, you were like, it was a heavy film. And I said, I know, it's a hard one to watch.
Hard one.
But that to be hopeful that it is creating the change that we were hoping for. We've heard that there's been over 80 screenings around the country and sold out theaters. And panels of public health departments and county supervisors and hospital staff and we have heard amazing stories of changes in behavior, county health departments writing a budget for postpartum support services in some communities, hospitals watching the movie and saying, we need to make sure this doesn't happen to one of our mothers. So they're going back to rewrite policies and put policies into place. We were contacted to share our link of the movie with a CDC who might be taking this on.
Oh.
And right now, the California health commissioners are watching it. So it is doing exactly what we wanted it to do.
I was wondering about distribution and our listeners, if they want to see it, is there a way to see the film?
Probably in November, it will be okay. On video on demand, but right now through a local community screening.
Okay. And do you have plans for more distribution for it, or just taking off on its own now?
We are really hoping to get broadcast somewhere. That's our main goal. But right now, it's just through tug.com, where you can see where a local screening is taking place.
Tug.com.
T-U-G-G.com, or okay. Our website. Yeah.
Again, our number, if you'd like to join in, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Perhaps you'd like to relate your experience.
Perhaps you're pregnant now, you're not understanding some of your feelings. Perhaps you had some of these feelings when you were pregnant.
And email radio@WLRN.org.
And before your website is?
DarkSideOfTheFullMoon.com.
And we can see the trailer there, I think.
Yes.
Right? And Dr. Bennett, because we left off there, let's talk about some solutions, what's being done to change the bleak landscape.
Okay. Well, we're definitely going in the right direction, but it's never fast enough for us. Of course, we want it all to be done now. You know, and what I really want your listeners to know is that, you know, you should be treated if you're suffering or you're not even sure if what you're going through is normal. But please talk with a healthcare practitioner you trust and hopefully a specialist in the perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. If it can be normalized, great. If you just need something like, good emotional support or good physical support, you might not need medication. There might be all kinds of, natural things you can do with a wellness strategy. But make sure that you're feeling yourself. Certainly, there are changes during pregnancy that some of which might be uncomfortable, even the normal ones. But again, if you're not sure, find out and don't suffer in silence, thinking I just have to, buck up and handle it and get through it, because that's not what's best for you or the unborn or the rest of your family. So doctors, really, healthcare practitioners in general, want to do the right thing, as Maureen was saying earlier in the show. They're, generally, these are good people who want to be helping their patients and clients. So what is happening more than ever now are that resources, as we are training more and more therapists, more and more neonatal practitioners and healthcare providers, there are more resources in each community. I, like many of my colleagues, do teletherapy with women all over the world. We work from Skype also, because there are still many places on the planet who do not have, you know, that do not have the proper services. But more and more, there are local resources available, which is excellent.
You know, I was thinking, normally when we're on a subject, something like this, and we give the phone number, the phones light up like crazy, and yet they're not. And my question is there a certain amount of shame or embarrassment that a lot of women may feel about this, about having those feelings?
Certainly. Again, when you buy into the myth of motherhood, that this should be the happiest time in one's life, if there's anything other than elation, there can be tremendous shame until the woman realizes that it's not a character flaw. You know, this is not a personality weakness. This is the most common complication of childbirth. And just like a very common complication is gestational diabetes, there's no shame around gestational diabetes. You just do what you need to do and you're treated and everything's good. This really needs to be regarded exactly the same way. So it's nothing to be ashamed about, but here the symptoms of the illness, you know, one of the symptoms of depression is low self-esteem and not feeling worthy. So here you add that to the mix of being a mother or a mother-to-be and not feeling overjoyed about it. And yes, there can be tremendous shame.
Let me ask you, we have a tweet from Vicky. Any mention of taking placenta during research for the documentary Mine is Encapsulated from My 3-Month DS?
You know, let me answer it this way. And actually, we write about it in Beyond the Blues, the updated 2015 copy of Beyond the Blues. It's a very popular thing to want to do. I know in California where I am, it's a very, very popular. We don't know that it does any harm at all. We do not have any research backing up helping with hormones. It certainly makes sense that we're losing our hormones. That might influence these mental health conditions. So put back in the hormones and then maybe you'll be okay. I support a woman doing anything that she feels might be supportive to her as long as it's safe. And we don't have any indication that it's unsafe, but on the other hand, we have no indication that it's actually helping the brain chemistry.
Did you want to add something, Maureen?
Just that we had a very, we looked at the whole film like it was real estate, and we had a very short time span to build a case. So we couldn't go into all the different kinds of ways that a woman or options available for a woman to get better. We really just had to nail home the message that women were slipping through the cracks, and that was the message of the movie.
And again, our number 1-800-743-9576. First caller, this is Lois in Miami. Hi there.
Hi, Lois.
When I was pregnant, when I had my first child, this is a long time ago, but I never forgot it. Our water heater was broken, and the washer wasn't working. And I found this very depressing. And I stayed at my sister-in-law's for a while. And when I was going to go back home, I told him how I hated to go back home like that. And my husband was so poo-poo-poo, like, what did our grandmothers do? Mm-hmm. I told him, I don't know what your grandmother did, but my grandmother had a washer.
And, you know, thank you for calling, Lois. You know, and often what our grandmothers did was jump out a window, you know, and or you know, there are tremendous numbers of suicides.
I can't hear you very well.
You can't? Dr. Bennett is saying
now I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Bennett.
Okay. Yes. And again, this can be undermined. You know, these feelings can truly be undermined, and that happens quite a bit. Like Maureen's OB was saying, oh, this is all normal. My OB did the same thing, said, go do something nice for yourself, and it'll pass. You know, what's the big deal?
Go shopping. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know my mother-in-law wasn't very sympathetic either. I mean, they were like, and actually, it was like a year or so after my mother had been killed in an accident, so that didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, well, hopefully you got the support you needed eventually, and you sound like you're doing well, so we're glad for that.
The only reason I mentioned it, I'll bet this happens a lot where somebody in the family acts like it's nothing.
Yes, absolutely, right. And that's why we're all about educating, and that's what the film does, too. It's our message is don't suffer in silence. Get help. Help is out there. Now it's out there. It certainly wasn't when you and I had our children, Lois, but it is now. There's wonderful help everywhere. So excellent, you know, reach out and find it because we deserve the proper care and proper treatment and wellness strategy. And with the proper help, we will be fine, absolutely fine, 100%.
And Pamela has a question. Thank you, Lois. How does one go about finding a doctor to treat this, given it's not on the radar of health professionals? Maureen?
You know what I send out to women is Postpartum Support International has a warm line number, and you can go to their website at postpartumsupportinternational.net. And they have somebody manning a phone. They speak English and Spanish, and that's where I send women because you can call that number and then they can get you in touch with the right people to help you find the right doctors.
Well, before we sign off today, we're going to ask both of you for websites and resources and help.
We'll have those on our sites as well.
Well, yeah, but at least anybody can listen to the show and get them as well. The other thing, I guess some calls are coming in now, but the other thing I wanted to bring up was this Edinburgh screening. I was talking with Maureen about it, Dr. Bennett, too, and so very few people are given this screening, which consists of 10 questions that hardly cover anything, really. Is there any hope for them really to have a better test that will be administered as routine to pregnant women?
There are various postnatal and prenatal depression tests, actually, little quizzes. A lot of information can actually be gleaned from asking the right kind of questions, even informally, mm-hmm. during a... So the answer is yes, and screening is happening more and more, either patient health questionnaire or the Edinburgh, as you mentioned, but they are happening more and more. If you're asking... That is just a screening. It is not a complete assessment. So after the screening, depending on what the answers are, that's when a discussion should happen. And that is often the piece that's been missing. Yeah. But we are going in the right direction. Screening is happening more and more. Edinburgh is used more and more, patient health questionnaire, and a couple of other excellent screening tools. So we hope to have all OB's offices doing this in the future.
And I think once we get insurance providers to put it in that says you have to X doctor screen these women this many times and have this conversation and this is what you do and this is how you bill, I think that puts it more on the radar as well.
Well, as you point out in the film, you have to get screened for AIDS, you have to get screened for
syphilis,
you have to get screened for
hypertension,
diabetes,
Yeah, it has to become part of the standard of care.
Right.
That's right. And this happens more frequently than any of those illnesses you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our next caller, Fort Lauderdale, this is Dermot, is that correct?
Dermot,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do think that this is a subject that requires a greater awareness. My wife, 27 years ago, suffered from what we call in Scotland postnatal depression rather than postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And at that time, just as you were saying, she was basically metaphorically patted on the head and told, oh, it's okay, you'll get over it. And we all went through a very difficult time with her. We were there to support her. And then 6 years ago, one of my daughters had twins by cesarean section, which her postnatal depression meant she completely rejected them. And if it wasn't for her mother, then I don't know what would have happened. But it is certainly something that requires a greater awareness, but it also requires a greater support, and to tell women that it's not letting themselves down. It is not anything to do with lower self-esteem just because the next-door neighbor had children and she was okay.
Right. Oh, Dermot, that's great. What did you want to, did both of you want to respond, Maureen?
Oh, definitely. Such a sad story, and I'm so happy she had her mother. And I know that women who have twins are at a higher risk for developing this, and that it's just, it's a part of, like I had gestational diabetes, and I had preeclampsia, and I had perinatal depression. This is one of the effects, one of the complications.
We had a male caller. Dr. Bennett, is there a male facet to this?
Do you mean can partners...
Of this depression.
Get depressed? Absolutely. They get depressed at about a rate of 10%. And if the mom is depressed, that rate shoots up to 24 to 50%. Certainly, men with a history of depression or anxiety themselves can go into a depression or an anxiety state once the baby comes, even if the mother is fine. Sometimes I'll get calls from the mom saying, I'm really doing okay, but I'm really worried about my partner. So, sleep deprivation changes our brain chemistry. It affects the neurotransmitters in the brain, our serotonin level. There's extra stress with finances. Other psychosocial factors might be going on with a man. But absolutely, and I'm so glad you asked. Yes.
And we have an emailer. Susan wants to know if there's any scientific evidence that physically trying pregnancies, bad morning sickness, pain, miscarriage problems, have higher levels of of postpartum depression.
We actually do. Any major stressor going on during the pregnancy, having to do with health of the baby or health of the mother, can make a mom higher risk prenatally and also postpartum. The answer is yes.
Okay.
And next we have Tamara in Miami. Hi there. Tamara.
Hi. Oh, hi. Sorry. My name's Tamara. I'm one of the owners of The Gathering Place in Miami, and we're actually screening the film. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Tamara.
On Saturday evening at 7. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and our center focuses on supporting families during pregnancy and early parenting. I just wanted to say that what I see as someone who works with this population of women all the time is that often the moms who need the most help are the ones who isolate themselves the most. So the moms that come to our postpartum groups and the moms that come to Mommy and Me and that you see all the time who are having difficulties are usually not the moms who are most acute. And we try really to work hard that when we have moms who are connected to our space who sort of disappear in those first couple of weeks after the baby, that we reach out to them to make sure that they're doing okay. So
great.
Tamara, could you give us the information about The Gathering Place, what time the film is Saturday, and your website?
Sure. The Gathering Place is located on Biscayne Boulevard and 58th. The film is at 7 p.m. on Saturday. The website for The Gathering Place is theplacewegather.com, and the film is, tickets for the film are available on Eventbrite.
Okay, great.
I would just encourage people, if you have someone in your life who's pregnant or who has a newborn and you notice that they're hard to reach and hard to locate, some of that is normal postpartum, like having a new baby and being overwhelmed. But it may be that they're really struggling, and having somebody reach out to them might be just the lifeline that's necessary to get them the help that they need.
Okay, thank you, Tamara.
Dr. Bennett, tell us more about the app, the phone app, PPD Gone.
Yes, actually, PPD Gone I developed because there wasn't any app, very, very easy to find help. So there's all kinds of resources on that app, PPD Gone. It's available anywhere, you know, no matter what kind of mobile device you have. There are things to read, things to watch, resources of all kinds.
And one other thing I wanted to, before we take our next caller, something else hopeful that came from your film, Maureen, is that we talked about ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, who had this real standard stuff, nothing to do with the perinatal depression on, you know, anything you looked at. Then you called them for a comment for the film. They didn't get back to you, but there's an update.
Yeah. Several weeks after we released the movie, I don't know if it has anything to do with the movie, but they did issue a new statement, and they said that maternal suicide is the leading cause of maternal death. Far outweighing hemorrhage and hypertension issues, and that every woman should be screened for at least one time during pregnancy and postpartum.
That is really great.
That's huge.
I'd be willing to bet it had something to do with our film, Maureen. Are you kidding?
I would think so.
And we move along. It's Maureen in Davie. Hi there.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, go ahead, Maureen.
My question is, first of all, it's a wonderful program. I'm glad that someone is paying some attention to this. I think it's very important, especially for first-time parents, because a couple years ago, I had a son, and I feel that I went through this process. My question is, are women who have children with disability more prone to postpartum depression? Or do you find that in your research?
Yes. Women who suddenly find themselves, or even if they know ahead of time that they're going to be delivering a child with some kind of a disability, mental or physical, are at higher risk. Those moms that find their children in the NICU, you know, in the neonatal intensive care unit as well, much higher risk. But again, there's a lot we can do. If we know ahead of time, you can already be set up with good emotional support, individual and group, you know, good physical support, so you get the breaks that you need to recharge yourself. All new mothers need that, but especially when there's a high needs a child or with extra, you know, special needs, you absolutely need that respite time. Good nutrition, you know, some way to oxygenate your brain with exercise, even if you're in bed.
Right.
You know, really good therapy. That has to be part of the wellness strategy, as well as really good therapy. But the answer to your question is yes. We do have that in the research.
So are there programs now set up to help parents like that? Because I know when I had my son, I didn't get any support, or no one even mentioned this. It's years after I realized, based on the things I'm hearing, not only on your program, but in other places, that I suffered from that, and I was not aware of it until years later.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's interesting, you know, as my first profession was a special education teacher, and I taught at community colleges in the San Francisco Bay Area and worked with parents with children with disabilities, their children with disabilities, and it's very interesting how those two can overlap. So frequently I'm called, and my colleagues are contacted by women in your situation, and yes, there is specific help for you, and I'd be more than happy to, you know, after the show, feel free to contact me, and I'll send you those resources.
And oh, wonderful. How do I contact you?
Well, why don't we do that right now? Okay, Dr. Bennett, your contact information and websites and apps, and tell us all that.
The easiest way to contact me is through my website. It's drshosh.com, drshosh.com. And it's very easy to send me a voicemail, you know, an email, and I will get back to you right away. And I do that personally.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate the information.
Okay, thanks for calling. And any other contact information? What about that app? What's the name of it?
PPD Gone, G-O-N-E. PPD Gone is the name of the app, and it's available Android, Apple, HTML, anywhere from any mobile device. You can download it. It's free, and literally at your fingertips, there is good help.
Okay, and Maureen Fura, contact information, website.
Definitely www.darksideofthefullmoon.com, and the screening this weekend is at the Gathering Place.
And again, that's on Biscayne.
And
yes.
58th.
And 58th. Said, okay, and it's theplacewegather.com. Well, I want to congratulate you on the film
Thank
and
you.
All the great things that have happened since the film.
Thank you.
And really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Maureen Feer is a filmmaker, mother of two sons, and she wrote and directed the documentary The Dark Side of the Full Moon. Dr. Shoshana Bennett is a clinical psychologist and internationally recognized expert and leader on maternal mental health, the author of several books, including her latest, Children of the Depressed. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in. If our topic strikes a chord with you or perhaps a loved one, you can hear it again. We have free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org. Also, check out the Topical Currents Facebook page. Today's program was produced by Polly Landis with technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Additional assistance from lead producer Richard Ives. Join us tomorrow for another in our series, All in a Day's Work. We'll focus on the men and women who literally hold lives in their knowledgeable, trained hands. That would be paramedics. On that program, we feature Kevin Grange, who's not only an active paramedic, but the author of Lights and Sirens, The Education of a Paramedic. Also, certified paramedic Tim Durham of the Palm Beach County Fire Department with a South Florida perspective. Remember those archives, WLRN.org. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.